Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, this was a subject I really wanted to start the new year with. We hear so many reports about young people, increasing rates of anxiety, the perils of social media, smartphones and what that exposes them to. But how are they really and how can we best support them? Tammy Darcy is founder of the Shona Project and she joins me on the line now. Tammy, you're very welcome.
Hi Claire, how are you? Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. And the Shona Project is celebrating 10 years this year.
Yeah, I guess we are. God, what a fast 10 years, eh?
So did that fly? I mean, I know when you set something up, you have lots of intentions, but you never really think of the first decade or where it will be at, do you? You're just thinking the next year or, you know, do you set those sort of long-term goals?
No, God, no, you can't think that far ahead. I mean, even in terms of like when our birthday is, like for the first 3 years of the Shona Project, I was working full time. I was trying to do it on a part-time basis and trying to, you know, make my plans on the evenings and weekends and do workshops on my time off. And then eventually I made that move into going into it full time. And, you know, now we've a team of 15. So it's hard to even know where the starting point is. And you are always just like so focused and so passionate about what you do that you're just dealing with what's right in front of you. And things change so much for young people. You need to be kind of in the moment, I think.
And things have grown at an incredible rate. I mean, 2025 was a massive year for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We've achieved a lot this year, which has been great, but it's also been a massive year for the girls that we work with and a lot of change, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of stress. So, you know, ideally we'd live in a world where there was no need for the Shona Project, but unfortunately I don't know if we'd be big enough in the next 20 years to deal with everything we're dealing with and to solve all the problems that we're trying to solve.
In the past year, you came on the show to talk about how you're beginning to talk to boys as well, which I think was a massive, massive undertaking and a massive and necessary move.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, I think everybody who has any contact with young people knows that there's been a huge gap there for the last God knows how long in supports for boys. I mean, like, there's nobody really offering a safe space for boys to figure out what it means to them to be a man and what masculinity looks like and what strength and power and leadership look like and vulnerability and all of those things. And while there's been that gap there, boys have been trying to kind of figure it out for themselves, and there's a huge influence there from, you know, the alt-right and maybe some influencers that are not entirely positive but are loud. So we decided this year that we were just going to pilot for a year, bringing in somebody to start to think about what a Shona Project for boys might look like or what an alternative might look like. We're 6 months in and we've learned a lot, and we're currently piloting in schools. So we're hoping that next year will be a really big year for us. I mean, we haven't even really announced it yet because, you know, everybody who knows the Shona Project knows it's a space for girls. It's a very safe, protected space for girls to kind of build a community. So the boys program will be called something else and we'll be hopefully launching it later this year.
And you can't really help the girls without helping the boys too. And you're a mom of both boys and girls. So, you know, it's not really one without the other. But I remember saying this to you many years ago and you were like, you're only one person, one organisation. There's only so much that you can do. But as soon as you had the bandwidth, you've taken this opportunity.
Yeah, and I'd even challenge you on the bandwidth piece because there's 250,000 girls in Ireland, so like we're busy. But it's exactly as you said, there was just such a need there. And we felt like we have such experience, as you said earlier on, like we're nearly 10 years in now and we have built relationships, we've tested programs, we've had huge impact. So we have a lot to offer the boys' side. And I think as boys and girls, you know, every child is a different, unique child, but boys and girls are moving through the world getting very different messages from society. So we just felt like, look, it needs to be done. We have the expertise. Let's just lean on our community and see if we can make this happen. But yeah, it's important for the girls too. And yeah, as a mum of boys and girls, I've just seen the very unique challenges that they've all faced.
So it's just something I wanted to have on the list for 2026 is this awareness of how we should be speaking to young boys and young girls and just create that conversation a little bit with you and for people to have it at the forefront of their minds. I mean, I already said at the start of the show, I'm not one for New Year's resolutions, but I do like that fresh start. And I think there's a lot of fear around young people now, and are they okay, and what do we do? And I think sometimes we need to turn down the panic and just bring a little bit more awareness. So let's start with the girls then. What's sort of going on for young girls at the moment, and how can we, not just as parents, as society, be part of supporting them more?
Yeah, look, our girls are really struggling at the moment, and we did research early last year to kind of identify what those big challenges are. And it's exactly what you might think it would be. I think what's quite shocking is the level at which those challenges are being experienced. So, you know, like 70% of girls have tried to move schools or have considered moving schools because they don't find school to be a positive space. So many, but I think it's like 76% of challenges that they've never shared with anybody or issues that they don't talk to anybody about. They all believe that there's more support needed. And there's just so many things that come up time and time and time again. For us, you know, and I'll talk about the girls when I mean this, but it applies for the boys. I feel like young people need a couple of things. The first one is a community where they feel that they can be themselves and they have space and time to figure out, you know, how they want to show up in the world and what their values are and you know, try new things and, you know, try hanging out with new people. The second is purpose. So they need to feel like it matters that they're in the world right now and that they have something to contribute and that they have a future that kind of makes sense to them. And, you know, we're seeing that slowly start to diminish. So that's a huge challenge. And then, like, girls are just being bombarded with these messages about what they should look like. And also that what they look like is the most important thing about them, which we all know is not the case. But they don't believe that in the same way that me and you didn't in the 90s, I guess.
And there has been a feeling that we've moved on from that and that body positivity, or I nearly prefer body neutrality, has come on board, that there isn't just one particular ideal. But that seems to still exist no matter how much work we do.
Yeah, I think we were making a little bit of progress, but then Ozempic came along and, you know, took us back another 20, 30 years. And this is no judgment against anybody, but it just means that, again, when it comes to role models, our girls are just seeing the people that they look up to get smaller and smaller, and they're being shown that that's what matters. So, you know, there is a huge, a lot more diversity that's visible and diversity of voices and backgrounds and shapes and all the rest. But still, I think that we're, unfortunately, I think there's another wave of challenge coming there.
Yeah, and that is a huge drain of people's well-being. I mean, I only know the experience of growing up as a girl and as a teen girl, and we can get so caught up in unhealthy relationships with our bodies, with our self-worth. It can even lean into food. And that plays a massive role in our ability to move through the world with confidence and have belief in ourselves and our abilities.
Yeah, completely. I mean, look, you know me well enough to know I hate to focus on the negatives. I don't like scaremongering, but I have to be honest about what I'm seeing. And when I'm honest about what I'm seeing, I can then focus on the solutions and the fact that the programs that we've developed are really targeting those issues by creating those safe communities, by promoting, you know, role models who are authentic and real and confident and comfortable in their own skin, and promoting kind of tools and mindsets that they can use that are going to serve them as opposed to hurt them. So, look, there's great work being done, but, you know, it's we can only do so much. So, you know, when you mentioned their parents, I think there's a lot of parents really concerned about their kids and wondering how they can support them through these next few years. And for me, it's just about listening to them, keeping lines of communication open and giving them the skill of critical thinking and being able to look at the messages they're receiving and identify the fact that these are not serving me. So, you know, I'm going to move on and try and find role models that does.
And what about the boys then? Are they under similar pressures?
So what we've noticed through the work that we've been doing in the last little while is that the challenges that boys face are not the opposite of the ones that the girls. There's a lot that are the same, but maybe manifest in different ways. But also a lot of the boys that we're meeting are telling us that there's like a branding issue where there's kind of an assumption in the world that boys are, you know, not good people and that they're out to cause mischief and that they're disrespecting, they're disrespectful. And, you know, what boys are telling us is, I'm a good person. I know how to be a good person. And there's this beautiful spoken word piece that came out during the summer that really resonated with me. And it said, you know, one in six, and I could be misquoting this, but it was like one in six boys are fans of Andrew Tate, but that means five and six are not, you know, and five and six boys like know what's right from wrong. They know how to be respectful. You know, they're curious. They have their own worries and concerns in their lives. And I think we need to start there with empathy, that it's a really tough time to be a boy right now and to stop judging them and start supporting them.
Yeah, I did a piece I was covering on the lunchtime phone-in show, and only that weekend, my own 14-year-old son and a group of his mates were queuing to get into a fast food restaurant in the city centre. They got to the top of the queue and the person managing the queue said, no, not today, boys. And even all the other families that were behind them that were trying to say, well, hang on, no, they were next, but they weren't doing anything. And they were just told flat out no. And I put that question out there. Do we assume the worst of a group of boys? And I'm just trying to start that conversation. I'm not trying to, you know, stoke anything necessarily. But, you know, I think people can feel intimidated perhaps by a group of teenage boys, but we need to have an understanding that the majority of them are good, who just want to go in, have a burger, have, you know, a soft drink, and then go home. And if we're going to keep turning them away, and lots of people said their teenage sons had experienced the same, then they end up congregating on street corners because there's nowhere for them to go. And then that becomes intimidating and we just go round and round in circles.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's reasons why some women are afraid of groups of men, you know, like it doesn't come from nowhere. And we don't often meet men who are afraid to be around groups of women or vice versa. So like there is a reality there. But at the same time, it just shows that there is a need there that has not been met. And it shows that that definition of masculinity doesn't serve men. And, you know, it's not manifesting itself in a good way in terms of behaviors or how they move through the world. So there's just a need there. And that's where we're kind of starting, is having those conversations with boys at a younger age, allowing space for that, honesty and reflection. And let's just take it from there, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it is that self-empowerment piece that you do so well at the Shona Project. Like, we're not going to be able to take away all the evils of the world. We're not going to be able to reduce the fact that our young girls are going to be bombarded with this imagery, that the boys in our lives are being fed an algorithm that is misogynistic over and over again. But what we can do, as you said, is keep the conversations going and have that open line of communication to give them critical thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's exactly that. I think it's, you know, as parents, when your kids are hurting or struggling, our instinct is just to take away those challenges and just to solve those issues. And I don't think that serves them. I think, like, when we focus on giving them a toolkit that they can dig into, that they're confident using, that they've tried and tested and they know they can overcome challenges, and that critical thinking piece, that really is the gold right there, because you're raising young adults who are equipped for when we're not around, or in those moments where we're not beside them to help them through those big challenges, or moments where they have to make decisions about their lives.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And we can all be part of the change. We can't just leave it all to Tammy Darcy and the Shona Project. Because what really jumped out at me there is when you said that young people need spaces where they can come together. And we don't have very many of those anymore, do we?
No, like, Claire, and you know Shine Festival, we run Shine Festival every year, and this year in particular I had a moment. I was standing at the back of the arena and there was, you know, thousands of girls singing and dancing and celebrating each other, and there was no phones out, and it wasn't because we said no phones, they were just so present in the moment. And I just thought, like, young people don't get times like this anymore, this like freedom to be themselves and just to be joyful. Like, it's so rare in big groups to be able to do that. So, you know, maybe there's ways that we can make that happen more often.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. Well, if people want to find out more, if they want to support the incredible work that the Shona Project are doing, they can go to shona.ie. Wishing you a fantastic 2026, 10 years of the Shona Project. growing and doing incredible work. Tammy Darcy, founder and CEO, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Claire.